You ever barge in on a toga party?
Why has Bill Curry been your hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years? It starts with one of the industry's best lifetime warranties for new and pre-owned vehicles, enhanced by 10-year roadside assistance and free maintenance for a year. Also included are nitrogen tire fills, F-150 and Super Duty bedliners, paint and fabric protection, and more. Add an extensive inventory and concierge customer service, and it's easy to see why Bill Curry is still Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. On Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
Today's final Ira Kaufman podcast of August is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Pin Chasers, and Buffalo Wild Wings. Before you completely lock yourself down for the hurricane, hopefully it turns away, but you still have plenty of time, no matter what, to go to Cyber Bowling at Pin Chasers. What a fun time at their three locations. 2 hours of bowling, $14.29 for kids, $15.29 for adults. Music, fun, lights, you get the idea. And unlimited bowling kicks in at 11 p.m. and 10 o'clock at the East Pasco location. Free shoes all the time at Pin Chasers. 60 years of Pin Chasers, the Peroni family, great community servants, and they are right there at pinchasers.net for you to look at all the daily specials whenever it is you want to bowl or just have a good time. Buffalo Wild Wings, we are now 2 weeks away from Ira and the next watch party at Buffalo Wild Wings on Big Bend Road in Riverview, just east of 75. A lot of fun, a lot of Bucks fans. We had a great time on opening night at Buffalo Wild Wings of the preseason a few weeks ago, and we're doing it all again. Thursday night football, 2 weeks from today. Buffalo Wild Wings, just I can't even express what a great time it is to feel that intensity for a Bucks game at Buffalo Wild Wings with the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. The schedule for the whole season, Ira's Road Tour, is at joebucksfan.com. Click on Watch Parties, and we're sharing it on Twitter all the time. Good fun. Put it on your calendar right now. It will be one heck of a night. And, of course, BillCurryFord.com. That's where you shop. As you heard in the commercial, 60 years of Bill Curry Ford tradition in Tampa. They have the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. Shop now, and you will not be disappointed. They are fantastic. Here's Ira.
Ira, how you doing? And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Ira Kaufman Podcast, featuring the one and only custodian of Canton, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the king of Newport Richey. We have to find a fourth title for you. Ira Kaufman, yay!
I'm in a jubilant mood, Lee. Why? Because the darn dreary, boring preseason is about to end.
Yay! On the cusp of ending.
On the cusp, baby. And what else is going to happen this weekend? Guys are going to be cut. And what else is going to be happening? The Bucks are going to be looking closely. And yes, they're going to pick up a few. I mean, Arians has been saying this almost since he came to Tampa.
Yeah.
This is not a set roster. It's not a set team.
Don't relax.
Now, you know, they're not the only team that's looking for upgrades. You want those last 10, you churn. Obviously, the Bucks will be looking at offensive linemen. But the biggest news of the week, I think, is the fabulous Todd Wright Fantasy League. Lee, you were there. The talent in the room was fantastic, and I'm not talking about the guys that were picking the players.
You're not talking about Dennis Phillips?
I'm not talking. And Dennis Phillips showed up. I believe he was wearing a Penn State jersey.
Saquon Barkley, Penn State jersey.
There were three different leagues going on, so Phillips is in a different league. I asked him to rattle off his team, rattle off his guys, and I go, Phillips, you just described the cold front, baby. You're in trouble.
And for those who don't know Dennis Phillips, he's a famous local meteorologist affiliate, a WFTS TV. Real good dude.
Been doing it a long time, and he's good.
Suspenders.
Suspenders. I asked him, where's your suspenders? First thing I said to him. But Todd Wright, how he juggles three teams, I don't know how the heck he does it. But everything was smooth. Started at 7:30. I thought I'd be there at 11. I'm out of there at 9. You're over there schmoozing with the whole bar over there. You're outstanding. Thank you for coming out, Lee.
Sure.
I got a powerhouse team, but, and there's a but, I got two guys that are that missed the entire training camp. Haven't taken a freaking snap. Yes, I'm talking about you, Ezekiel Elliott, who was my first round pick.
Whoa!
At number 6. And I'm talking about you, Mr. Melvin Gordon, because it was the 7th round. You know, there ain't much left.
Yeah. A
couple of punters. And I said, you know, hey, suppose this guy misses a month. I don't have to play him. I play somebody else. And when he's ready to play, I got, a top-tier running back.
You'll play Ezekiel Elliott. What was the reaction when you picked Elliott? First round.
If I didn't take him, somebody else would have been.
Really?
Yes.
Like Daniel Jones and the Giants' general manager?
I don't have a buck, Lee. No buck. Evans went high. Godwin went high.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Gay was drafted. Yes.
Was he?
O.J. Howard was drafted. Cameron Drake was not.
No kidding.
Peyton Barber was drafted. I'm trying to think about Ronald Jones. Ronald Jones may not have made it through 13 rounds.
Peyton Barber.
Your favorite. Peyton Barber.
Well, I'm not anti-Peyton Barber. I just don't like his lack of production.
My league is not a money league. Now, I've learned from my mistakes. I'm feeling very good about my team. I got Aaron Rodgers and Roethlisberger as my backup quarterback. I got Julio Jones. I got studs. Travis Kelce.
Oh.
You know, who's the guy that O.J. Howard should probably be shooting for.
Yeah, reception-wise, touchdown-wise.
He's got Mahomes thrown to him. Doesn't hurt. But he was outstanding before Mahomes took over for Alex Smith.
He was. With Alex Smith, yeah.
So I made some big mistakes last year, and I learned from it. I went into last year, I was trying to be a wise guy. Lee, when you're a wise guy and you're in with the Sharks, you're going to get devoured.
So you outsmarted yourself, you think?
I said I want to get the best defense, you know. So I took, you know, the Jaguars coming off 2017 when they had like 55 sacks. Well, the defense wasn't bad, but it wasn't great.
Yeah.
But I took them like in the fifth round. You don't do that. I took a kicker like in the sixth or seventh round. You don't do that.
Okay, Jason.
And so I learned from my mistakes. I picked guys where they should have been picked. I don't want to crow because we ain't put out our first lineup yet. Very happy with my ball club over here.
Your original, which was 2 years ago.
And I got DeMar Dotson as my backup tight end.
2 years ago, the first time you ever dipped your toe into the fantasy football pool.
And I did well.
And you damn near won.
I did well. I made the playoffs. And I played a guy. And he had Todd Gurley.
Oh.
I said, all right, Gurley's good. Good. He scored 4 touchdowns and ran for .152. I was buried. I was buried before I started, so I got knocked out. But I did make the playoffs.
Poor Richie Lou. He'd be happy with your team.
He'd be happy. But I didn't take any bucks. You know, it's fun. You change the lineup every week. And like the Bucks, you scour the waiver wire and you look for upgrades. Man, I'm telling you, Lee, it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. Well, you know what? Talking about picking players, there's some players that the Bucks are going to pick not to be on their roster. This Saturday at 4 p.m., 53-man roster has to be filed with the NFL. And as you stated already a couple times in this very podcast, the roster's going to churn, so it's not etched in stone. What are some players do you think maybe a little bit of a surprise to fans that, you know, they might be employed elsewhere?
Well, one guy who I don't think is going anywhere is Justin Evans. I don't think he's going anywhere. Even though, you know, around the league, second-round picks get cut. I don't think Arians wants to do that to Jason Light. Be another black mark for Jason. He don't need any more. Two, he does have a bit of experience at the safety position, and they're awfully young in that secondary. Awfully young, especially at safety. So, you know, Mike Edwards is going to be back. You got Whitehead. These guys don't have any experience. And I'm not calling Justin Evans an old man, but it would be his third year.
Yes.
I was not happy with his season last year before he got hurt. I was not happy with it. And it's been a funky injury. I think Cairo Santos is hitting the trail. And through no fault of his own. He hasn't been bad. I think he'll be cut. Gay's been better, and Santos had to be a lot better than Gay to win the job.
Because
it
Gay
was not
drafted?
An even competition.
Because Gay was drafted?
Light was not going to draft a second kicker who wasn't going to pan out. That wasn't going to happen. And to be fair, Gay's been fine.
Mm-hmm.
But he did miss. I'm worried about him from 35 to 40. I'm worried.
I've seen all but two practices.
I like the reliability guy, you know. Yeah. And I know Gay can hit the 55-yarder. Maybe Santos can't. But I think you're giving up a little bit in that translation.
I completely agree with you. All throughout training camp, I missed two practices. The very last one, which I think was a glorified walkthrough, and another one where I had to have surgery on my hand. Other than that, I made every training camp practice. And the kicks that Gay missed were what you would expect, the high percentage kicks. You know, 30 yards, 35 yards, 25 yards. The long ones, he did excellent, you know. You almost wonder, and Arians has said this in passing.
I don't think so, Lee.
I know where you're going. Arians has said this in passing that there have been teams that he's seen keep two kickers. Now, no one asked him with a follow-up, are you going to do that? But as bad as Bucks kickers have been, I'm not saying I would do it, but I'd sure give a thought.
You do
about
it?
Kicking, you know, kicking a long range kicker.
I would do it if I had a better roster than the Bucks, a better roster.
Now you said something a moment ago. I want to follow up on that. Was something you said about Justin Evans? Arians doesn't want to cut him because he doesn't want to make Jason Light look bad. I'm not sure that would be a concern at all for a couple reasons. Number one, Jason is all about, hey, you make mistakes, you cut your losses, you move on. Number two, he just got a contract extension. So he's going to be here as long as Arians is here. And if Arians thinks that the team is better off without Justin Evans, and I'm not saying they're going to cut him either.
Right. I see your point.
Had he still been injured, I think he was in danger. I don't know if that would actually be a thought.
It's it's another mark in the eyes of the Glazers, though.
Sure.
But you're right. He's got a little bit of security. But, Lee, you know as well as I, first of all, we don't expect Arians to be here 4 or 5 years.
No.
We don't. Two, if Jameis doesn't work out and Arians wants to stick around and pick another quarterback, Jason Light might not have a job here. He just might not.
Interesting.
And, Lee, you've mentioned it many times in terms of the head coach. The Glazers don't mind writing old checks. They don't mind it. They'll do it. They'll do it. And they'll do it for Jason Light if they have to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, look, I'm still the guy that says, you know, if 3 or 4 of these guys that were high picks that haven't made their mark, if they pan out, Jason Light's going to be looked at in a whole different way.
Oh, absolutely.
If the Hargraves and Noah Spences make it.
I told this to somebody. I can't remember who I told it to earlier today or maybe it was yesterday. If the Bucks have a horrible year, let's say they go 5-11.
For the third straight year.
Yeah, let's say they go 5-11. I don't think it's ridiculous to suggest both Light and Arians are gone. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I don't think we can easily dismiss it. The Glazers might just say, the hell, we're blowing everything up. We got all kinds of quarterbacks come in. We thought Jason was the guy.
And Winston leaves too at that point.
Yeah, Winston leaves too, and they gut the roster because, you know, they're in salary cap hell. And the Glazers just say, we're going to start from scratch. Get a new quarterback that we don't have to worry about Jameis, because Jameis is going to be making $30 million if they keep him next year. So there's going.
You're saying Arians wouldn't leave on his own volition. He might be shown the door. That's what you said. Could be.
When I say could, I'm talking like 10% chance. 10%. I don't think we can easily dismiss it. I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility. I'm not saying it's likely. No, don't get
me
wrong.
There could be other factors along the way. Arians' health might deteriorate.
Arians' health, Jameis's progress or lack thereof. If the offense stinks, if the offensive line is a sieve and they have no running game, on and on and on. If they're lousy, you know, that's a big caveat. It would not shock me if the Glazers are like a completely clean house.
Peyton Barber's not going to play in Dallas. Ronald Jones may not play in Dallas.
I wouldn't expect him.
You know, you'll see some Ellington and the kid.
Dari.
So this gets me to my point, Lee. What is your comfort level with the Buck running game on the brink of the regular season?
Not much more than last year. I think Dari might be a surprise, a blessing maybe. He's impressed me in the sense that he's number 3 running back. But what's that saying? Because Barber is nothing. Barber hasn't shown me anything better or worse than he did last 2 years. Ronald Jones looks a little bit better. The few times, and there were a few, last Friday, that horror show we watched with the offensive line, 2 or 3 times there were, I mean, just for a split second there was a crease. Jones got a couple decent runs out of those. I mean, it was very split second. One time he didn't, but Barber isn't quick enough to shoot that crease, and he likes the rope-a-dope. Peyton Barber does the same thing Doug Martin does. Likes the rope-a-dope. Would you just hit the stinking hole, quit dancing?
Lee, I'm telling you right now, if the running game doesn't show significant improvement, I think they're going to struggle in the red zone because field is constricted, and the teams that are very good in the red zone, they can run the ball a little bit, and the Bucks never score rushing touchdowns, the Bucks. They get like 6. New Orleans had 19.
Well, they have Kamara, too.
The Bucks had 6, you know, 6 or 8.
Yeah.
It's a big difference in the red zone. It's tough to throw into those short windows from the 12-yard line.
Well,
everybody's in the end zone.
Well, you know what Arians said? He doesn't want Jameis doing jump balls except for Evans in the end zone. If he's in the end zone, good. Throw up a jump ball.
Would you be shocked? And by the way, I was shocked because I wrote a column about O.J. Howard and his ceiling, which I think is almost unlimited when you talk to people about him. But Lee, when you look, 2 things jump out. 1, he's got to stay healthy.
Yeah.
He missed 6 games last year, 2 in his rookie. But what really shocked me They don't throw to him enough. He has very few targets.
Yeah, that's been the case up until this year.
A lot of production based on his targets, but not enough targets.
Yeah.
And that's got to change.
Yeah, Warren Sharp, he's a NFL analyst of some note, but he looks at stats and numbers as far as refers to gambling. That's what he looked. But he referred in his almanac, he referred to O.J. Howard as criminally underused last year.
There you go.
Criminally underused.
Are you still thumbing through that thing? How many pages is that thing?
It's.
I was with you when you first got it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It's been 6 weeks. You're still reading it.
Yeah, it's in my briefcase. Yeah. You know, like, here's one for you. You know, I was asking about what players could surprise and be unemployed from the Bucks come Saturday. I wouldn't be surprised if Noah Spence is one of those. Because it seems like the Bucks are almost begging Noah Spence, can you give us a reason to keep you? Like the past game, that past Friday night, every snap on defense he played. But he didn't do anything. And it was almost like the Bucks coaches, or Light, or all of them, were telling Noah Spence, indirectly telling him, please make a play so we can have a reason to keep you. We want to keep you.
And I see Shaq Barrett, you know, plays like the second half with the backup.
Yeah.
I think I'd change that. I think I would change
that. I don't know. You know, and I have nothing against Noah Spence, but it's fair to say he has not lived up to his billing.
I think Barrett's a better pass rusher than Noah Spence.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any question about it. And 60-40, Noah Spence stays. 40% he doesn't. And it would not shock me Saturday when the 53-man roster is released. His name's not on that list.
How about Cici? How about Jack Cici? I think he makes the team.
Possibly.
I think Arians likes him.
He likes him, but I think that's one of those guys where Arians is talking about, you got to play special teams.
He's got to play special.
But Arians likes his attitude. At least he likes something about him.
And he's made a nice recovery from his injury.
Yeah, and there's another guy talking about staying healthy. What, 2 years in a row, knee injury? Last year at Wisconsin, his first year with the Bucks.
Does Benenock skate through?
Yeah, because, and this is why. During training camp, how many times did we hear Arians say, we need to develop some young tackles? Whoa, well, Benenock's a young tackle.
He was a young guard. Now he's a young tackle.
Yeah. Well,
let's remember that.
Yeah, last week, Arians said, Benenock, he's not a bad right tackle. He can't play left tackle, which I agree. So.
Who's the backup left tackle?
Good grief, that's a great question. Earl of Watford? So if Donovan Smith goes down, oh my gosh.
Let's talk about QB's situation behind number three.
With Vinny Jr.?
Well, you know what I'm thinking, Lee? It's time to give Ryan Griffin a shot as the number two. It's time. I don't have a lot of faith in Blaine Gabbert before he got hurt.
Nobody does.
I just don't.
Nobody outside of Bruce Arians does.
He knows the playbook and Arians' philosophy. You know what?
I can find a college
Throw
kid.
Throw that out.
Yeah,
Throw
I can find
out.
A college kid and memorize a playbook. When I say college kid, I'm talking about an algebra major on a lacrosse team.
I want to find out if Griffin can get the job done, if he's needed. I mean, God forbid Winston goes down. He deserves a shot, Lee. He deserves it. He's worked hard enough to get it. Right now, he's Mr. August. If Winston misses two games, maybe the Bucks can win one.
Well, that's
Ryan Griffin. I think this is Ryan Griffin's year to back up Winston.
Well, that's
or question, should be.
That's a question I got to ask you. You said he deserves it. He's worked hard. NFL isn't about deserve anything. You earn. Has he earned it? Deserve and earned are two different things.
What hasn't he done, Lee? I mean, you know, he's done okay in training camp. He looks very good in games. He's led them in fourth quarter
now
rallies.
Ian Beckles said that the thought of Ryan Griffith playing quarterback frightens him.
Has he weighed in on Blaine Gabbert?
yep. Two wins. He said Gabbert's quarterback, it's a two-win season.
You mean if Jameis goes down in week one?
And Gabbert is a two-win season.
Now, Lee, next week, obviously, we will be all over the Niner game, looking at it from all aspects.
Jimmy GQ.
Jimmy G's playing.
Jimmy GQ,
G's playing.
Where do you go to school again, Ira?
I don't know, but you're about to make a point here.
Eastern Illinois.
Sean Payton?
Yeah.
Tony Romo?
Mike Shanahan?
Yeah. Lee DeKemper?
Yeah.
Mike Shanahan?
Yeah, Mike Shanahan. He's a quarterback at Eastern Illinois.
Wow. That team any good? That school any good?
They used to have a decent football program. Granted, a couple years ago, Garoppolo had them in the playoffs.
What's their nickname?
The Panthers. Boring Panthers. It was not uncommon for them to make the playoffs. They wouldn't go anywhere, but they'd make the playoffs. They had a good program, not a great program. But the last couple of years, ever since Dino Babers left.
Any alumni that made it into show business over there at the Kemper?
Burl Ives, and there's this woman, Joan Allen.
Joan Allen. She's an actress.
Yes.
She's good.
And she went to Eastern Illinois as well.
Burl Ives was big in the 50s. He got into the folk scene. I'm serious. And he was an actor.
I was thinking of Burl Ives with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer cartoon.
You know my high school. You know, beautiful New Utrecht High School.
Where Joe Paterno went, right?
No. New Utrecht High School, Bensonhurst, Brooklyn.
But you're Welcome Back Cotter.
Yeah. The school that Welcome Back Cotter was based on, and the school that's in the opening credits, Welcome Back John Sebastian, who, by the way, he wrote a lot of great songs.
John Sebastian went there?
No, but he wrote Welcome Back Cotter. Okay. And who's our great alumni? Buddy Hackett, baby.
Oh, you don't get better than Buddy Hackett. I got a quick one, Rome. Well, we're going to deviate from football for 20 seconds here. There's quite a lot of Illinois governors that went to Eastern Illinois. And when you say Illinois governor, you all say corruption. Well, one guy that was actually above corruption was a guy by the name of Jim Edgar. At the time, he was Secretary of State. And I put myself through college delivering pizzas. There was a mom and pop pizza place. And that's, I honest to God, I paid my tuition.
How much was a pie? How much?
Oh, back then, $12,
standard
I think.
Pie.
$12 for a large.
Oh, when I was growing up, it was $1.25. At the corner with a pizza place.
You're a couple years older than me. But at any rate, I put myself through college delivering pizzas.
Company car or your own car?
Both. If you want to use your car, you got to write off. Practical joker, someone called in a pizza and they had the address. They generally don't have the names of the address. So I deliver this pizza, and I can't remember the name of the address, but I'd go up there, and a little old lady opens up the door, and she talked like a cartoon character. They talk like this. Show up with the pizza. Droopy, the cartoon character. She talked like Droopy. And so I had this pizza, and I knock on the door. She answers, "My son is the Secretary of State, Jim Edgar." And I said, "Okay, well, here's your pizza." And she just kept repeating that.
I wish they could see the face you're making right now.
And finally,
it's a classic.
Finally, after about four or five times of her saying, "My son is the Secretary of State, Jim Edgar," I said, "Ma'am, I don't care if your son's the King of England. Did you order this pizza?"
Can't her son buy her some new dentures? Well, what the hell's going on over there? DeKemper, I know you've got this story. I know this is a PG podcast.
Oh.
But I imagine in your fledgling career as a pizza delivery man, you knocked on a few doors and you didn't know what the hell was going to happen when that door opened. One, you ever barge in on a toga party? That's number one.
Not toga party,
number,
many parties.
Number two, you ever barge in and you said, "I got to get the hell out of here"? You got to give me a story, DeKemper. There's a story waiting to be told.
I don't know about that. I know your next question.
You ever get attacked by a dog, a panther?
No, but I know your next question would be.
See, people that go into people's homes, they're asking for trouble.
I've seen some
exterminators. They got stories.
I see some drunken lasses in scantily clad attire. I answer the door. But my favorite was, and I'm not a bear.
Did you charge them for the pizza, or they paid enough with the peak?
Well, my favorite night. And I'm not a Bears fan at all. My favorite night was when the Bears won the Super Bowl, the 85 Bears. I was working that night, and this is a lot of money in those days.
They were all Bears fans over there,
Most of them. 70% of the students and the residents of the town were Bears fans. I made 80-some bucks in tips and a six-pack of beer.
That is a hell of a night.
Yeah, I'd go deliver a pizza, and it'd be a party. Like, "Hey, have a beer." Okay. So I took a six-pack.
And everybody was happy.
Everybody was happy, yeah. Everybody was happy. And oddly enough, the second best night I ever had in tips was when the St. Louis Cardinals beat the Dodgers in the 85 NLCS. I think I made like 38 bucks in tips.
The famous Jack Clark home run?
Yes, the Jack Clark home run, yeah.
Do you remember the name of the pitcher? I do.
Oh, it was German name.
Tom Niedenfuhr.
Niedenfuhr, yeah. Well,
you know who he married?
No. Joan Allen?
One of the Landers sisters. Judy or Audrey Landers? He married Judy Landers. Landers. She was a blonde bombshell back in the day.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Leave It to Beaver's teacher.
Never mind, Leave It to Beaver.
No, that's Miss Landers.
No.
It was.
This has nothing to do with Judy and Audrey over here. They were bombshells, and Niedenfuhr, as a consolation prize for giving up a game-winning homer, he gets to marry one of the Landers.
Niedenfuhr gave a much more famous homer than Jack Clark.
Oh, let me hear this one.
The game before, Ozzie Smith.
Oh.
Remember that one, the left-handed?
No, I don't remember
that. Jack Buck go crazy, folks go crazy?
Well, you can't give up a homer to Ozzie Smith. Jack Clark's a slugger.
Yeah.
You know, I had him in the Giants, and he left us.
Ozzie Smith's three-run blast beat the Dodgers in the ninth inning.
Oh, man, I'm telling you.
First home run hit, left-handed. And I'm sure Elizabeth's going to go wild because we're talking baseball on the Bucks podcast.
Was it inside the park or was it over the wall?
Over the wall, down the right field line. Ooh. You know, Jack Buck's calling, it might go. That was part of the call.
I've said it before, and I'm not saying it just because you happen to be sitting at the table here at Glory Days. Best baseball town in America, St. Louis, Missouri.
You think so?
In my opinion, yes. Mm-hmm.
I know, it's like a religion there.
Whether they're good or bad, and they're usually good, but even when they have a bad year and win 75 games, they love their Cardinals.
Yeah, they come out. They go to the games. They always do. We got to get back to the Bucks football here. Outside of Noah Spence, do you think there's someone that would be a surprise that would get cut, whether it be Ryan Smith, or I'm just throwing a name out there. Ryan Smith's had a decent training camp, decent preseason.
A month ago, I might have said Will Golston. He's done pretty well for himself.
Has he?
I think so. They like him against the run. They like him as the left end in a three-man front. He's going to be a one- or two-down player. He ain't going to be out there on third down.
You think this guy's got like nine lives?
Yeah, I mean...
is he that good? I mean, he's not bad against the run. I know that. I know he's good against the run, but... I mean, is this guy that good?
No. He can block a pass on occasion.
Periodically,
he can block a kick on occasion. He's okay. He's just okay.
I will say this. When he got hurt against the Saints on Christmas Day, when the Bucks were basically playing for a playoff game, same game that Doug Martin went AWOL, so to speak. He was a healthy scratch. Will Golston got hurt either late in the first half or early in the second half, and the Saints exposed him. Not him, but whoever took his place.
They have Ingram running wild.
They attacked. I can't remember.
They didn't have Kamara at that time.
No,
they didn't have him.
It was Ingram. Yes, it was. And I can't remember who came in for Will Golston. Whoever it was, they ran right at him. And they, there was a close game, and that lost the game for the Bucks. Golston was not there. So when I say, when I sort of mock him, I'm like, this guy have nine lives. I have to give him his props too. That. He was good enough that the Bucks lost because he wasn't there.
Here's a guy who has solidified his position, Devontae Bond.
Devontae Bond.
Arians comes in, doesn't know anything about Devontae Bond. Not a great deal of film on him, and I think he's impressed Arians. So I think he's secure.
Devontae Bond, I've been saying it for 2 years. I think, with all due respect to Levante David, who clearly is the best linebacker on the Bucks. Devontae Bond is the best fundamental tackler for all the linebackers. And I've talked to him about this too. I said, did Bob Stoops teach you how to tackle? Someone knew what they were doing, whoever taught you how to. His tackling form is just about perfect.
And Lee, you know who is all over tackling the techniques, the way you do it? Brooks. Because Derek
I was going to say Marinelli, but
because,
yeah.
I do that show with Derek Brooks for the Identity Tampa 2. Tape a couple episodes with him every week. He makes a big point that tackling throughout the league, not just Tampa Bay, in the first month of the season is atrocious, in his opinion.
Is that because they don't hit in preseason?
Yeah, it's a big reason. Mm-hmm. And it takes time before you get into a rhythm.
Okay.
And you get your technique down, and it gets much better as the year goes on. But he says the first month of the season, when you watch NFL games across the board, even the Belichick teams. Tackling's a problem.
That's really interesting. I think fans will like the story I'm going to say now. It's about tackling. This is back when John Madden was still doing Monday night games. I think he was doing a Bucks game. If it wasn't the Bucks game, it was a Steelers game. And let's say it was a Steelers, just for an example. He started talking about tackling and fundamental tackling. And he said the two best teams in the NFL that are excellent fundamental tackling teams are the Bucks and the Steelers. And he said, why is that? You have two old grizzled defensive coordinators that have been around a while, and they emphasize it. And that was Monty Kiffin, and that was Dick LeBeau. And I just thought that was really cool. John Madden cited those two guys. He goes, those are the guys that are the reasons why the teams are such good tacklers, because those two old defensive coaches stress it so much. He called them throwbacks. Yeah. And he said, that's why they were so good tacklers, and that's why they had such good defense.
You mentioned Monty Kiffin, Lee. You also remember that last week, I believe I ended a podcast by throwing up an off-the-wall name for the Ring of Honor.
That was a great...
And that name was Monty Kiffin.
That was a great thought.
And I see one of the comments, and I think this person is speaking for more than themselves. That's a crazy thought. Kiffin doesn't deserve to be up on that facade. because he quit towards the end, the last month of the 08 season, and announced his retirement following that year to go with his son, and the Bucks fell apart, which they did. Mm-hmm. And you know my answer to that? Shame on the players. Are you falling apart?
That was part of it. My contention
Don't fall apart. Have some pride.
One of the first big stories Joe Bucks fan ever had, we learned...
That was December of 08.
Yep. We learned in September, I think. I'll have to go back and look at the files. We learned in September of that year, what's Monty's son's name? Lane. Lane was being interviewed. A bunch of schools were interviewing him for a college job. And in the interviews, Lane was saying, I'm a package deal. You hire me, I bring my dad with me.
That was Southern Cal he ended up with, I think.
Tennessee, but he had interviewed at Clemson.
Tennessee, yeah.
We had connections with Clemson. And one of our contacts, a good friend of ours, he knew people, the board that interviewed him, they had like a dais of like 8 or 9 people interviewing Lane Kiffin. And this guy...
So he didn't say it publicly.
He did not say it publicly, but... In that interview, this guy knew someone that was on that board, and that was Chester McLaughlin was on that board. And this guy was tight with Chester McLaughlin. McLaughlin told him that, hey, man, if we sign Lane Kiffin, he's going to bring his old man Monty with him. He said it's a package deal. And Bruce Allen later, when word got out that this was happening, Bruce Allen, on record, he may have even told you, Bruce Allen said, we knew he was leaving this summer because he wanted to coach with his son. So when people say, oh, this was a shock, maybe they kept it away from the players. It wasn't a shock to the organization, unless Bruce Allen's lying out of his teeth.
And if Allen knows it, that means Gruden knows it.
Yeah, of course.
That's right.
Now, the main reason, you know, of course, that year they collapsed, the defense specifically collapsed in December. Chucky was out. One of the reasons the Glazers wanted a house cleaning, because they thought they got too old. They got rid of Brooks, Cato, June, a lot of guys. They got rid of. So a lot of people point to, oh, The team melted down because Kiffin was leaving. I would suggest, number one, that's not true because the team knew about it in the summer. Number three, those guys were getting old. When did they collapse? December, end of the season, when most old guys are running out of steam.
They had a veteran defense, no mm-hmm. question about it. And Brooks, I think, got hurt towards the end of maybe...
He was dinged.
And probably shouldn't have played the last game against Oakland.
Is that right?
And he was not going to be sidelined for that final game. And Oakland stunk that year.
Yeah.
They stunk.
Who was that cockamamie quarterback they had?
And they beat the Bucks.
Yeah.
And scored a lot of points doing it. And the game was in Ray J.
Yes, it was in Raymond James.
We couldn't believe it. We couldn't believe it right in front of our eyes. That was it. That was the end.
You ever hear this story?
The guy who could throw 80 yards sitting down, but yeah. but he couldn't complete a 10-yard pass.
This is actually a true story. I've heard this on NFL radio that guys that used to work for the Raiders. Actually, it was Rich Gannon was talking about this. He heard it from Al Davis. Jamarcus Russell. They were having problems with Jamarcus Russell. They didn't think he was studying tape, even though he said he was. So Al Davis and the coaches, I think Lane Kiffin might have been coached then. I think, I'm not sure. They set a trap for the guy. They gave him a tape. And they said, bring this tape home, and we'll meet tomorrow morning, and you can tell us about what you saw on the tape. Okay. Next morning they show up, and they go into Al Davis's office, and say, okay, tell us about the tape. So Jamarcus Russell tells him what he saw on tape. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, you got the tape? Yeah, I gave him the tape. Okay, Jamarcus, that was good. We're glad you studied it. Thanks a lot. We'll see it practice in a little bit. He leaves the office. They pop the tape in. Blank tape. They set him up.
Ooh.
It was a blank tape.
Wow.
It was a setup. And they wanted to show Davis, like, this guy's not studying. And I guess Davis was suspicious of that. That, he's studying. Like, no, he's not. And it was a whole setup. Wow. Like, look, Al, here's the tape he watched.
That's kind of devious, but you know what?
That's the Raiders.
You got to do that for Al Davis. You got to prove it to him.
Uh-huh.
When Al Davis doesn't have an answer back to you, you've made your case.
Have you ever dealt with Al Davis?
Yes, because I don't know if I've told this story on this podcast, Lee, but I'm going to tell it right now.
Oh, I think you called him up about something.
Called him up because I was doing a big profile of George Steinbrenner. I know those two guys were tight. And they were both born on July 4th, 1 year apart.
Oh, I didn't know Steinbrenner was.
Steinbrenner, 1930. Al Davis, 1929. Davis was a year old.
Okay.
Born on the 4th of July. It kind of fits both of those
yeah.
guys. So...
Before Ira dives into this Al Davis story, another thank you to Pin Chasers, 3 Tampa area locations. That is your place for bowling fun and just all kinds of fun, day or night. Pinchasers.net is the website. Check out their daily specials. Every day there's something spectacular going on at Pin Chasers. And Buffalo Wild Wings, it is coming up. We are 2 weeks away from the big watch party. The next one, the Sage Road Tour at Buffalo Wild Wings in Riverview, just east of 75 on Big Bend Road in Riverview. The watch party includes giveaways by Ira and just a great time with Bucks fans and the Sage. And it's the Gerald McCoy Bowl. You're going to want to be with fellow fans for this one, win or lose, hopefully win. Thank you to Buffalo Wild Wings and Bill Curry Ford. Just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. They are a Tampa institution and just such a great community partner in general for 60 years. BillCurryFord.com is the website. Start shopping there now. Tremendous offers, and you can read all about their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford. Now back to the Sage.
It's probably the best story I ever did for the trip. I put a lot of work into it. Steinbrenner loved it, said it was the best profile of him he's ever read.
No kidding.
And he's read a lot of it, and it was in his hometown paper. If he had a quarrel with it, and it was good and bad. I had the suspensions and everything in there. Howie Spira and all that craziness.
Dave Winfield
had it in there. Hiring the Billy Martin 5 times, you know. So I was in the office, and I said to Joey Johnson, who was sitting there, I said, I'm going to call Al Davis. Johnson says, you ain't getting Al Davis. I said, I am getting Al Davis. Call the main office secretary. Raiders, I'm so-and-so from the Tampa Tribune, and I made sure I threw this in there. I'm doing a profile of George Steinbrenner for his hometown paper, and I know he's very close to Al Davis, and I think Al would like to chime in if given the opportunity. That's the way I set up. I don't just say, I'd like to talk to Al Davis. You're getting hung up on.
Click.
Click. So I hung up. And she said, I'll pass the word on. Hung up. Ira, come on. Yeah, that's 1,001 shot. 20 minutes later, pick it up. It's the secretary. Mr. Davis says, be at this phone number at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Well, I go home, sitting on my patio. You know, playing with my little Dante.
Yeah.
And phone rings. 2:59. I pick it up. Vinny Detronic. No, I didn't say that. That's another start. I go, what's up, Al? Yeah, that's the way you got to treat him.
What's up, Al?
And with my Brooklyn accent. He goes, where are you from? I said, Brooklyn. Of course, he went to Erasmus High School in Brooklyn. Oh, yeah, what high school? New Utrecht. Ah, we used to kick your ass in basketball. Who's your most famous sports guy? I said, Buddy Hackett. He goes. We got Billy Cunningham. We got Barbara Streisand.
And by the way, Joe Paterno went to the same high school as Al Davis.
And there you go. So anyway, he goes, what do you need? I said, Tampa Tribune, George's hometown. Big profile of George. Going to be on the front page. I know you guys are tight, going on the same day, a year apart. How would you describe, George Steinbrenner's legacy? I didn't know what the guy was going to say. I got the tape recorder going. And Davis says, in the history of professional sports, one man towers above all others. That's me. I'd rank Steinbrenner a close second. I mean, you can't beat that.
That's classic.
You can't classic. I said, and then, I stopped the tape recorder. I got what I needed, And he's a winner, and he's this and that. And then I stopped the tape recorder, and I go, Al, let me tell you something. Growing up in Brooklyn, my brother was a Raiders fan. This is in the 60s, the AFL. The Mad Bomber, LaMonica, Warren Wells, Biletnikoff. I mean, they had great teams. Upshore and Shell.
Yeah.
That's Otto. An offensive line, my friend.
Yep.
Otto. That's 3 guys in the Hall of Fame, baby, off the same line. I don't think the Bucks are going to make that, Lee. I'm sorry. So I go, you caused me a lot of sleepless nights, Mr. Davis. He goes, what do you mean? I said, my brother's a Raider fan. He's 4 years older than me. I'm rooting for all the teams that are the opposite of my brother's teams. He liked the Dodgers. I'm a Giants guy. He likes the Celtics with Bill Russell. I go with the Sixers with Wilt in the 60s. And He's a Raiders fan. Well, who's the big rival? The Chiefs. So I've become a Chiefs fan. Dawson, Otis Taylor, Willie Lanier, and you're killing me every year, Al. You're killing me. He goes, yeah, but in the final game of the AFL, the very final game.
That's right.
The Chiefs beat the Raiders 17-7.
Upset, right?
Upset out in Oakland. Mm-hmm. And the story goes, the Raiders had all their bags packed to go to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
And Stram found out about it and told his team before the game, they're not even taking us seriously. They're ready to get on a plane. I think the game was going to be in New Orleans against the Vikings. And then I think Tulane Stadium.
Yeah.
You know, not the Superdome. And the Chiefs found out the Raiders had all the bags packed. Chiefs beat the hell out of them, 17-7. That was a tremendous Chiefs defense that year.
Yeah, look at all the Hall of Famers.
Chiefs. Yeah. A lot of Hall of Famers. I would say it's on a par, if not better, than the 0-2 Bucks. And that's high praise.
Wow.
So, Lee, we're going to meet again next week. We're going to focus on the Bucks opener.
And their new roster.
And their new roster. And you'll have a few surprises for us. Until next week, adios. Can her son buy her some new dentures? Well, what the hell's going on over there?